Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Girivara Dari Jaya Girivara Dari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Girivara Dari Jaya Girivara Dari Yashodanandana Brajajanaranjana Yashodanandana Brajajanaranjana Yamunatira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Girivara Dari Jaya Girivara Dari Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 13, verses 57 and 58. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I'm going to read through verse 57 and we'll recite 58 together. Iti reshe tarkini ja mahimani svapramitike. Paratra jato tan nirasana muka brahma kamito inisepi dakstum kim idam itiva mukyati sati kachada jojvata sapadi paramo jajavanikam. Translation: the Supreme Brahman is beyond mental speculation. He is self-manifest, existing in his own bliss, and he is beyond the material energy. He is known by the crest jewels of the Vedas by refutation of irrelevant knowledge. Thus, in his relation to that Supreme Brahman, the personality of Godhead, whose glory has been shown by the manifestation of all the four-armed forms of Vishnu, Lord Brahma, the Lord of Saraswati, was mystified. "What is this?" he thought. And then he was not even able to see. Lord Krishna, understanding Brahma's position, then at once removed the curtain of his yoga maya. Purport. Brahma was completely mystified. He could not understand what he was seeing, and then he was not even able to see. Lord Krishna, understanding Brahma's position, then removed that yoga maya covering. In this verse, Brahma is referred to as Iresha. Ira means Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and Iresha is her husband. Lord Brahma. Brahma, therefore, is most intelligent, but even Brahma, the Lord of Saraswati, was bewildered about Krishna. Although he tried, he could not understand Lord Krishna. In the beginning, the boys, the calves, and Krishna himself had been covered by Yogamaya, which later displayed the second set of calves and boys, who were Krishna's expansions, and which then displayed so many four-armed forms. Now, seeing Brahma's bewilderment, Lord Krishna caused the disappearance of that Yogamaya. One may think that the Maya taken away by Lord Krishna was Mahamaya, but Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that it was Yogamaya, the potency by which Krishna is sometimes manifest and sometimes not manifest. The potency which covers the actual reality and displays something unreal is Mahamaya, but the potency by which the absolute truth is sometimes manifest and sometimes not is Yogamaya. Therefore, in this verse, the word Aja refers to Yogamaya. Krishna's energy, his Maya Shakti or Swarup Shakti, is one, but it is manifested in varieties. Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Sruyate, Svita Svatara Upanishad 6.8. The difference between Vaishnavas and Mayavadis is that Mayavadis say that this Maya is one, whereas Vaishnavas recognize its varieties. There is unity in variety. For example, in one tree there are varieties of leaves, fruits, and flowers. Varieties of energy are required for performing the varieties of activity within the creation. To give another example, in a machine, all the parts may be iron, but the machine includes varied activities. Although the whole machine is iron, one part works in one way and other parts work in other ways. One who does not know how the machine is working may say that it is all iron. Nonetheless, in spite of its being iron, the machine has different elements, all working differently to accomplish the purpose for which the machine was made. One wheel runs this way, another wheel runs that way, functioning naturally in such a way that the work of the machine goes on. Consequently, we give different names to the different parts of the machine, saying, this is a wheel, this is a screw, this is a spindle, this is the lubrication, and so on. Similarly, as explained in the Vedas, Parasya Saktir Vividhaiva Sruyate Svabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. Krishna's power is variegated, and thus the same Shakti or potency works in variegated ways. Vividha means varieties. There is unity in variety. Thus Yogamaya and Mahamaya are among the varied individual parts of the same one potency, and all of these individual potencies work in their own varied ways. The Samvit, Sandhini, and Ladini potencies, Krishna's potency for existence, his potency for knowledge, and his potency for pleasure, are distinct from Yogamaya. Each is an individual potency. The Ladini potency is Radharani. As Svarup Damodar Goswami has explained, Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Ladini Saktir Asmat, Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 1.5. The Ladini Sakti is manifested as Radharani, but Krishna and Radharani are the same, although one is potent and the other is potency. Brahma was mystified about Krishna's opulence, Nija Mahimani, because his opulence was Atarkya, or inconceivable. With one's limited senses, one cannot argue about that which is inconceivable. Therefore, the inconceivable is called achintya, that which is beyond chintya, our thoughts and arguments. Achintya refers to that which we cannot contemplate, but have to accept. Srila Jiva Goswami has said that unless we accept achintya in the Supreme, we cannot accommodate the conceptions of God. This must be understood. Therefore, we say that the words of Shastra should be taken as they are, without change, since they are beyond our arguments. Achintya kalu ye bhava natam starkena yojayet. That which is achintya cannot be ascertained by argument. People generally argue, but our process is not to argue, but to accept the Vedic knowledge as it is. When Krishna says, this is superior and this is inferior, we accept what he says. It is not that we argue. Why is this superior and that inferior? If one argues for him, the knowledge is lost. This path of acceptance is called avaroha panta. The word avaroha is related to the word avatar, which means that which descends. The materialist wants to understand everything by the aroha panta, by argument and reason. But transcendental matters cannot be understood in this way. Rather, one must follow the avaroha panta, the process of descending knowledge. Therefore, one must accept the parampara system. And the best parampara is that which extends from Krishna, evam parampara praptam. What Krishna says, we should accept, Imam Rajar Sayo Vidhu. This is called the Avaroha Panta. Brahma, however, adopted the Aroha Panta. He wanted to understand Krishna's mystic power by his own limited conceivable power, and therefore he himself was mystified. Everyone wants to take pleasure in his own knowledge, thinking, I know something. But in the presence of Krishna, this conception cannot stand. For one cannot bring Krishna within the limitations of Prakriti. One must submit. There is no alternative. Natam starkena yojayet. This submission marks the difference between Krishnaites and Mayavadis. The phrase atan nirasana refers to the discarding of that which is irrelevant. Atat means that which is not a fact. Brahman is sometimes described as astulam ananiv asrasvam adirgam, that which is not large and not small, nor short and not long. Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 5.8.8. Neti neti, it is not this, it is not that, but what is it? In describing a pencil, one may say, it is not this, it is not that, but this does not tell us what it is. This is called definition by negation. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also explains the soul by giving negative definitions. Najayate mriyate va. It is not born, nor does it die. You can hardly understand more than this. But what is it? It is eternal. Ajo nitya sasvato yam purano nahanyate hanyamane saride. It is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, undying, and primeval. It is not slain when the body is slain. Bhagavad Gita 2.20. In the beginning, the soul is difficult to understand, and therefore Krishna has given negative definitions. Nainam chindanti sastrani, nainam dahati pavaka, nam chainam kledayantyapo, nasasyati marutaha. The soul can never be cut into pieces by any weapon, nor can it be burned by fire, nor moistened by water, nor bewildered, nor withered by the wind. Bhagavad Gita 2.23. Krishna says it is not burned by fire. Therefore, one has to imagine, what is it that is not burned by fire? This is a negative definition. Okay, so verse 58, we can recite together. Tatorvak pratilabdakshaha. Kapareta vadutita. Kichrad unmilya vaidristir. Achastedham sahatmana. Tatorvak pratilabdaksha. Kaparatavadutita. Kichrad unmilya vaidristir. Achastedam sahatmana. Prabhus.
Tatorvat pratilabdaksha.
Tatorvat pratilabdaksha.
Katpare
tatruktita.
Kritshad unmilya vaidrishtir.
Kritshad unmilya vaidrishtir.
Achastedam sahatmana.
Achastedam sahatmana. Mataji's.
Tatorvak pratilabdaksha.
Tata, then, arvak, externally, pratilabdaksaha, having revived his consciousness, ka, Lord Brahma, paretavat, just like a dead man, uttita, stood up, Krishrat, with great difficulty. Unmilya, opening up. Vai, indeed. Drishtihi, his eyes. Achasta, he saw. Idam, this universe. Sahatmana, along with himself. Translation. Lord Brahma's external consciousness then revived, and he stood up, just like a dead man coming back to life. Opening his eyes with great difficulty, he saw the universe along with himself. Purport. We actually do not die. At death, we are merely kept inert for some time, just as during sleep. At night, we may sleep, and all our activities stop, but as soon as we arise, our memory immediately returns, and we think, oh, where am I? What do I have to do? This is called suptotita nyaya. Suppose we die. Die means that we become inert for some time and then again begin our activities. This takes place life after life according to our karma or activities and svabhava or nature by association. Now in the human life, if we prepare ourselves by beginning the activity of our spiritual life, we return to our real life and attain perfection. Otherwise, according to karma, svabhava, prakriti, and so on, our varieties of life and activities continue, and so also do our birth and death. As explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Mayara vashe yacha bese kacha habudubu bhai. My dear devotees, why are you being washed away by the waves of Maya? One should come to the spiritual platform, and then one's activities will be permanent. Krita punya punja. This stage is attained after one accumulates the results of pious activities for many, many lives. Janma koti sukritair nabhalyate, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 870. This Krishna consciousness movement wants to stop koti janma, repeated birth and death. In one birth, one should rectify everything and come to permanent life. This is Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, long purports. We're here in the towards the end of the famous Brahma Vimohan Lila, where Lord Brahma is totally bewildered by Krishna's potency. Actually, just before this particular pastime, Brahma had witnessed, along with the other demigods, the killing of the Agasura demon. And he was really astonished by this. But he was actually even more astonished once he saw that after that, Krishna was simply enjoying his lunch with his cowherd boy friends in the forest. It seemed like such a simple, innocent activity for God to be engaging in. And so Brahma thought that he was going to challenge Krishna, and he also wanted to exhibit his own powers after having witnessed the killing of Agasura. And so he decided he's going to steal the cowherd boys and calves and see what happens. And as we see here, Brahma was totally bewildered by the response to that. And one can wonder, how is it that Brahma, who after all is a great devotee, he's the first created being. He's the creator of the universe. He has his own planet. How is it that he could be so bewildered? And so it's important to understand what is Brahma's position. Brahma is actually a post that is achieved by a person in all the different universes. And there are cases where we see that even Brahma doesn't know this about himself. Once upon a time, he wanted to have the audience of Krishna in Vaikuntha. And so he arrived at the door of the kingdom and he told the doorman, "I would like to see Krishna. Please tell him that Brahma is here." And so the doorman goes to let Krishna know and comes back and he tells him, "Well, which Brahma are you?" And he says, "I'm Brahma, the only Brahma." And he says, "Well," and Krishna eventually calls in all the Brahmas from the different universes, and some of them have 10 heads, some of them have hundreds of heads, thousands of heads, and Brahma once again is completely bewildered when he sees that there are so many other Brahmas. So Brahma is not an eternally liberated being or an expansion like Vishnu. This is why you don't see Brahma temples. Brahma is actually born into the material energy, even though he's born in an absolute amazing way as the first being coming out of a lotus flower stemming from Krishna's navel. Nonetheless, he is born like us into the material energy, and that means that he is going to be affected by the four material deficiencies, which are Brahma, Pramada, Vipralispa, and Paranapattva, the tendency to commit mistakes, the tendency to be illusioned, the tendency to cheat, and having imperfect senses. Materially born persons cannot fully understand Krishna, even the greatest of demigods. In Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, Krishna says, "Tribir guna mayar bhavair, ebi sarvamidam jagat, mohitam nabijanati, mamebhya paramavyayam." Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. Also, in the very first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, "Tene Brahma Ridaya Adikavaye," everyone from Brahma down to the smallest insect must take lessons from Krishna. So this world is a school ground for learning. We can see it just by the ingredients of the material world. It comes along with duality. You cannot have success without failure. You're either hot or cold. It comes with the threefold miseries. Miseries caused by the self, caused by others, caused by the environment. And it's characterized by samsara, the repeated cycle of birth and death. And these ingredients, these qualities of the material world, are actually here for us to question our own existence. How do we usually learn? We learn from difficulties. We learn from experience, good or bad, but mostly bad. You know, we say, "I'll never make that mistake again." So these are the ingredients of the material world, and they're actually meant for us to learn. Just like when you learn how to swim for the first time, at some point you just have to get in the water without floats and actually struggle, and eventually you know how to swim. Or similarly, a baby bird, the mother will push the bird off the tree and it's just falling out of the sky, and unless it spreads its wings and starts to flap them, it's going to die. So these are the ways that we learn in the material world. And this actually generates many different philosophies. You have, for example, existentialism, started by the French philosophers Jean-Paul Sartre and Albert Camus, who put a lot of emphasis on the absurdity of the world. Everybody realizes that this world is absurd when you come upon all these difficulties. And so these philosophers will go into much detail of how this affects your psychology and how you will respond to that. Another way to respond to the difficulties of the world is realizing that there is the law of karma, and what goes around comes around. But really, the highest intelligence is to understand that not a blade of grass moves without Krishna's sanction, and that everything we go through is actually a wonderful opportunity for us to come towards him, because this has actually been placed in front of us by Krishna himself. So that's the spiritual vision that a devotee tries to develop, rather than going into the psychological effects of the world, or, you know, being frustrated and becoming suicidal, or so many different ways we can react to these difficulties. The highest way of responding is to understand that this world is here specifically for us to be reawakened to our original identity and reestablish our connection with Krishna. If we see it in this way, we can see everything in our life as an opportunity. So when Brahma was revived from his state of bewilderment, he is described as if he had come back to life. This yogamaya curtain has been lifted, and the purport uses this to describe that death is nothing but a moment of suspension. Just like a dream, when you're dreaming and you wake up, you realize, okay, I've been suspended from my daily life, now let me get back to business. And this comparison to a dream does not mean that the world is not real. A lot of philosophies may say that, this world is nothing but illusion. But in the Vaishnava understanding, it's not so much that it's not real. It's actually real because it's part of Krishna's creation. So in this way, it's even sacred. But it's more that it reflects the permanent reality of the spiritual world. And the dreamlike state is really when we misidentify as matter rather than being within matter. This being spirit and not matter is a very simple fact that can be verified in so many ways. We have so many examples of out-of-body experiences. When people have a near-death experience, they'll recount, you know, how they could see themselves lifted out of their body and witnessing that they're separate from that. There's so much scientific research that's been put out. I don't know if you've heard of Dr. Ian Stevenson. He's done extensive research on reincarnation. And of course, just by logic, we can also notice within our own life that we're separate from our body. Our consciousness, not our consciousness, but our mind and our body is completely different now than it was when we were, say, 5 years old. We know scientifically that the body is completely replaced every 7 years. And ultimately, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Dehi nosmin yata dehe kovaram yovananjara tata deham taraprabtir dirastatra namuyate. As the embodied soul passes in this body from boyhood to youth and to old age, similarly it passes it into another body at the time of death, and a sober person is not bewildered by such a change. So this soul never dies, and as explained in verse 57 in the purport, it cannot be cut by any weapon, it cannot be moistened by water, or burnt by fire, or withered by air. And when we die, this is rather a moment of transition. Real death, we could say, is when one is bewildered by the illusory potency of the world and forgets his real identity as an eternal servant and having a relationship with Krishna. And if we begin our activities in this life based on this eternal reality, then we can actually experience happiness, but also leave this cycle of birth and death and reconnect with Krishna. This is called the art of dying. First, you must understand that you have a lot more benefit in working towards your eternal interest, which is beyond this life, rather than working on the temporary benefits of this life, which are associated with the temporary body. Because the body is temporary, anything that you try to accommodate in reference to the body in this life is also going to be temporary. But when you act on the level of the soul, which is eternal, then you get that eternal benefit. So that's step one in the art of dying, or the art of living, is to understand that our eternal benefit is to act for our eternal self, our true self. So to get back to Lord Brahma, we should understand that we should surrender to Krishna rather than try to control him or try to be him. It's much more comforting to be under Krishna's care than try to put ourselves on the same level as him and then become bewildered by the material world. But of course, Krishna forgave Brahma, just as an eternal father will always have love and compassion for his children. When Brahma became so bewildered to the point that he's like a motionless puppet, totally stunned, Krishna lifted that curtain of yoga maya, and he even allowed Brahma to understand the full beauty of Krishna and Vrindavan, and to understand his mistake. So it's interesting to, I always try when I'm studying a verse to not just learn the facts of the pastime, but to relate a little bit. How can I benefit from this pastime? What can I learn from it? And so it made me think how I know for myself, I know better, but still I keep doing the same repetitive activities of trying to enjoy in the material world. As Prabhupada calls it, chewing the chewed. We just keep drinking that poison, knowing that we're going to have so many negative benefits, but yet we keep going. And so how do we get out of that that vicious cycle? We have to understand that there's a wonderful process that's been given by Krishna and Lord Chaitanya of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord and following the four regulative principles and associating with the devotees. This is really the most important thing. If we're on our own, it's so difficult to really follow this process. But as soon as we come in the association of devotees, it becomes very easy because it becomes the norm. When we're out there in the world, you know, I saw in a Back to Godhead magazine, meet Maya's best friend, Norm. Which means that, you know, you go out there and, yeah, the norm is to enjoy and the norm is try to, benefit the body. But as soon as you associate with devotees, then you realize the real norm, which is to act on the level of Krishna consciousness. So Krishna and Lord Chaitanya have given us the process, and even though we may be caught up in our material activities, Krishna is so loving that he's right there next to us. There's that beautiful comparison in the Vedas of the two birds sitting on a tree representing the Jivatma and Paramatma. The Jiva is the individual self, and Paramatma is one of Krishna's expansions. You have Bhagavan, Paramatma, and what's the third one? Brahman. So Krishna is always there right next to us. And just in, you may have seen that painting where the two birds are on the tree branch, and the one bird, which is the Jivatma, is totally bewildered with his wings flapping around, and he's trying to catch that fruit on the material tree, and Krishna as Paramatma is right there next to him, simply waiting for us to turn our head towards him. And as soon as we do, in 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paryupasate tesam nitya biyuktanam Yogam Kshemam Vahamyaham. Those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So we know the saying, you take one step towards Krishna and he'll take 100 towards you. Krishna is always there so mercifully waiting for us to simply come to him. It's repetitive in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is always saying, come to me, come to me. Also, he explains to Arjuna that devotional service is never lost. Whatever you perform on the spiritual path, because it is transcendental, it's not bound by the material laws, you'll have eternal benefit from it. And in the 12th chapter, Krishna says that if you cannot fix your mind upon me, then follow the regulative principles, and this way develop the desire to attain me. If you cannot do this, then try to perform work for me. And if you are unable to work in this consciousness, then at least try to give up the results of your work and be self-situated and attain peace of mind. So we can see in this sequence of verses 9 through 12 in the 12th chapter that Krishna is just doing everything he can for us to come to him. Even if the process may seem so difficult to always remember Krishna and be fully devoted to him, he breaks it down in ways that we can easily practice and come to him. So these encouraging words of Krishna should help us in our determination. If we understand that we've been in this cycle of birth and death for so many lifetimes, then like Prabhupada says, you know, we can easily just give this one life to Krishna. Just this one life. We've enjoyed in this way, in this suffering way for so long. Let's just give this one life to Krishna. Recently, I was really inspired by the determination of a particular devotee. Vishwambar, our school teacher, shared intimately with me, but he said that I could share it in class today also. His mother, Mother Nanda, recently passed away in Vrindavan, and when he went to Vrindavan for the final rites, he went into her room, and he saw that she had, you know, post-its all over her room. She had memoirs, journals. Her books were filled with, you know, notations. And he just saw how dedicated and how determined she was to make it back to Krishna in this life. And she did this while struggling with so many health issues. She was pretty much bedbound, and basically she just spent her days reading and chanting. Right. And she was there for a long time. Yeah. So when he told me this, it was just really inspiring, and it was a reality check of what it takes to go back to Krishna. Just like we can see Lord Brahma, he had this one desire of creating, and that was the one anchor that keeps Brahma in this material world. Because if you want to go to the spiritual world, you have to be completely devoid of all material desires. Even one will keep you here. Is that intimidating for anybody? But we can see, we have wonderful examples of such devotees who really are determined, and this is very encouraging. I'm so encouraged myself every time I come to the temple. Even though I may not come every day, I see so many devotees that are here every single day. They are so beautifully dedicated to Krishna, and I'm really thankful for that. So, in conclusion, we may note that Brahma's ego was not overcome by Krishna confronting and rebuking him, but by experiencing the sweetness of Krishna's playful pastimes of compassionate love and protection for his devotees. That's really what conquered Lord Brahma. And the lesson is that Brahma learns what is real greatness. Greatness is not something that you can try to measure by your own experience. Brahma was the greatest. You know, he's the creator, and so he wanted to measure Krishna in that way, because he perceived himself in that way. But you cannot measure greatness by your own standards. Humility is the first step in truly understanding greatness. The willingness to put aside our own measurements of what's right and what's wrong, what is great and what is not great, when we accept our own limitations as being in this material world and having those four deficiencies, then we can begin to understand Krishna. We cannot, he cannot be judged by our limited senses and what our intelligence tells us. So we can use this wonderful pastime of Lord Brahma as an inspiration in so many ways. If there's any additions or questions?
Thank you for a very nice class, Prabhu. Oftentimes, Srila Prabhupada would criticize the Mayavadis and use the argument that because their understanding is that part of Brahman becomes covered by Maya and becomes a living entity or becomes Krishna's form, and that the ultimate is impersonal Brahman. But how can Maya, which is the energy of the Supreme, cover the Supreme? How could Krishna be covered by Maya if it's his own energy?
Right.
But here we see in this purport that it says directly, in the beginning, the boys, the calves, and Krishna himself had been covered by Yoga Maya, which later displayed the second set of calves. So how is it that we find that it's Yoga Maya, this is still Maya, how could Yoga Maya cover Krishna? It says that Krishna was covered by Yoga Maya. I mean, I can understand how we were covered or Brahma was covered, but how could Krishna be covered by Yoga Maya? That's my question.
Well, you probably know the answer better than me. But my humble attempt will be that Krishna himself may want to forget that he's God in order to really enjoy his pastimes with his friends. You know, if he always knows what's about to come next, then how is he going to really enjoy the pastime, you know? So I think that's...
That would be worldless magic. It's mentioned in the fourth chapter of the...
Charitamrita Adi Leela, how Krishna's Kaviraj talks about how Krishna, what he's thinking, you know, before he comes, 5,000 years ago. And he says, yes, I want to, you know, display my spontaneous devotion at the highest level, ragatmika bhakti. And in this ecstasy of myself, you know, and the gopis, I will also forget. I will also be able to forget that I am Krishna. So exactly that theme. And that's, so Krishna gives Yoga Maya the power to cover him so that he can forget that he's God and enjoy the pastimes fully.
I think this can be attached to one of the six opulences of Krishna, which is that he is the most renounced. Krishna is not attached to his position as God. He just wants to enjoy with his devotees. And even when he sees his reflection on the floor of the palace, he is, you know, bewildered by his own beauty, you know, and that's one of the, it's one of those things about Krishna that makes him so attractive, is that he's not that, you know, all-imposing God that many people might think he is. You know, he's in so many ways actually very innocent. It's very beautiful. Right, yeah, for that relationship with his devotees. You had an addition, Prabhu?
Encourage you to continue your study and encourage other Gurukulis also. Oh. It's very nice. In the chapter 4, Vadrida Prabhu, there is a verse. Amito na jane keho na jane gopigan, duha rupe gune duha nitto hareman. In the purport, Prabhupada did say clearly, if you have it, you can put it on the Vedavasa right now. You can see Prabhupada says, Krishna allows Yoga Maya to, so that he can forget his supremacy. So he can relish. This is not a renunciation. This is not vairagya.
Uh-huh.
This is rasa vaishaha. He is expert relishing the transcendental mellow of love.
Right.
This is his existence. Everything, all other existence, all other idea of God is all secondary to that.
Hmm.
He is Krishna, is the enjoyer. That's all he does.
Right.
And every, he is inviting all the soul to come and drown into their ecstasy.
Hmm.
Yeah, Rasika Shekara Parama Karun. Then his merciful nature. Now I have one addition to your. I met this lady. She's a famous Miss Linda about this outer body experience. You said, but that's not proper because I not challenged her, but I went to the library in Gainesville and I was talking to her. I asked, so when you had that experience, you wrote the big book. Now it's selling. All the millions of people are
What's
buying.
What's her name?
Miss Linda. Famous New York Times bookseller or something. Anyway, so I asked, so who was the person who was watching that came out of the body? I asked very details because I was researching on this. And then she said, well, that was me. I said, good. Who is that me? Is the female body or a male body or somebody? Well, that's female body me. I said, that's subtle body. That's not a soul. You cannot say soul, Srila Baladevi Dawson Thakur says, without devotional process, bhakti, you can never separate butter out of milk. The process is bhakti. Only bhakti, by the mercy of Prabhupada, Guru Krishna, that we can separate our identity from this material nature. Tad etam, this sixth canto, Prabhupada gives this very good analogy in the purport, 51 verse. This physical body that we have, eye, ear, nose, shurasa kalam, anushing shruti, harsha mokasa. This pain, pleasure, all these things are coming from that subtle body, which is just like this physical body. In the purport Prabhupada wrote very nicely. So in the subtle body, we have the same as physical body. When they say outer space experience and all this, it's all subtle body experience. They're still thinking they're this body. To experience this soul, they have to be in the chanting Hare Krishna and under guidance of Prabhupada and bhakti. Mm. Then it can separate. Mm. Otherwise, no process can do this. Only bhakti can separate the soul from matter.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. Yeah, thank you. Kalyapani Prabhu?
So to say, there's no comparison between the Mayavadi's idea that Brahman for Leela accepts Maya, and the Vaishnava's idea that Krishna's bewildered by Yoga Maya. Oh no, is it Mahamaya? Yeah, Yoga Maya. There's no comparison because if you judge a tree by its fruits, the result of the Mayavadi idea is endless strife and catastrophe, and the result of the Vaishnava idea that Krishna accepts for pastimes, bewilderment, the result is endless bliss, and even if a demon is killed in those pastimes, still everybody involved is completely benefited. The demon himself is catapulted to liberation. So there's no comparison, there's no argument.
Mm.
I was just thinking, you were talking about how everything that happens in our life is an opportunity to come closer to Krishna. So we never know what our karma is going to bring us, what our destiny is. And that's why it's so precious to have the association of devotees, because any difficulty, as you know, can become an impetus to becoming closer So although we would like to execute everything perfectly, we do have the coverings of our individual natures to deal with. And sometimes, as much as we try to hear the Lord in the heart, we become covered because there's something the Lord wants us to learn. And sometimes we think, oh, I should have known this, or what happened here? It seems like all we need is that that willingness to become reformed. You know, so that we're not rebellious to the Lord, to cultivate that within our heart so that we can more easily welcome what comes and be able to see the benefits. And so that's why association is so important, because sometimes Krishna chooses to use, like a physician, sometimes the knife is very sharp and has to cut deep, because whatever that cancer is, it's very, very deep. And for the organism to survive, then the doctor has to do something extraordinary. So something the Lord saw within the heart of Brahma that required something quite extraordinary. And sometimes in our lives, and it's difficult, and we need that association. Sometimes we get bewildered, and we need that higher understanding. So that's why the constant hearing is so precious, because it keeps us in that higher awareness so that we can accept it in a way that's beneficial.
Yeah. It's a really wonderful thing when we can soften our heart to the point that when a calamity happens, instead of having that knee-jerk reaction of getting angry and frustrated, we actually welcome it and see what can I learn from this, and just kind of cruise right through it in that way. That's definitely where the pure devotees are. But we can get there for sure. I'm sure a lot of you have managed to do that a little bit at least. Any more questions?
Yes. Fascinated with Prabhupada's purport, you know, such a genius. In the beginning, you see the 6-7 line Prabhupada emphasized about Saraswati. I just wanted to clear one, because if you take all the comments of Prabhupada on Saraswati, here Prabhupada writes in the purport you just read, Irisha, that the Brahma is a husband of Saraswati. Now, in the beginning, when Dravida Prabhu gave class, he translate goddess of Saraswati. Goddess of learning. And then we hear Keshava Kashmiri was defeated by Nimai, and then Saraswati appeared. He said, he's my husband. Now she is a husband of, she is a wife of God, Krishna, Mahaprabhu, in that case, or Brahma. That has to be clearly defined. It's the same name. So the original, Bhagisha Jasyabhadani Lakshmi Jasyasti Ridaya Sambit, in that verse, it's clearly said that Saraswati has place where she resides on the lips of the Lord as a potency. That is the original, Adi Saraswati. When we pray every day Bhagavatam class, Narayanam Namaskritam Naranchaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat, That Saraswati we pray, that's not the same Saraswati of Brahma's wife in the purport of Prabhupada. You have to compile all Saraswati together. Yeah. This is a different Saraswati. This is a Vidya. Vidya is a Sattagun product. In 18th chapter, Krishna says, Sattat Sanjayate. So from Sattagun, the Vidya comes. From Sattagun. But this, when we pray to Saraswati, they are Shuddha Satta. Very powerful. Not same. Same name. Yes, there is another. Very good.
Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.